This is WBAA. I'm Mike Lowitzo. This year's Interdisciplinary Engineering Colloquium at Purdue is Where Did I Leave My Chariot? The Curious History of Parking from Ancient Rome to Tomorrow's Megacities. One of the panelists is Mary Smith, Senior Vice President for Walker Parking Consultants, also a Purdue graduate. She joins me on the phone with a bit of a preview of Thursday's event. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for talking with me today. And I wonder if we could start maybe with you talking a little bit about your job, as well as being the Senior Vice President for Walker, your Director of Parking Consulting. What exactly do you do?
I work on parking facility designs and master planning, in fact, all over the world. After I graduated from Purdue in 74, I joined Walker. I've been a lifer with them for however many years that is. And our firm specializes in consulting on parking, everything to do with it, with parking. But my area of expertise is master planning and functional design of parking facilities.
Is there a difference between parking in the United States and some of the other countries you've dealt with?
Well, there are differences, but there are a lot of similarities, too. Right now, I'm working for 6 months out of our new Abu Dhabi office, helping get that set up. For the last 3 years, I've pretty much only worked internationally, so I've been doing a lot of work outside the country. There are some differences. There's some cultural differences having to do with people shopping in the evening rather than the daytime, and much longer stays and some of those things that affect the design of parking for retail. We have some security issues that we have to deal with in the two projects I'm doing in Istanbul and Cairo. In both cases, every vehicle before it enters the parking garage, they are going to do a security inspection. They're going to take a dog and walk around the car and pop the trunk. And in Egypt, and in many of the countries over there, there's a little bit more of a crazy driver syndrome. In Egypt particularly, the driving on the roads is absolutely insane, and there's absolutely no respect for any kind of signage or any kind of restrictions. So we have to kind of think about that when we're designing the parking.
So are parking garages built differently or designed differently?
To some respects they are, in other respects they aren't. In both Istanbul and Cairo, the cars are definitely smaller because the gas prices in one case are higher. So the cars are definitely smaller and more like Europe, so we use different dimensions for there. But in the Arab oil countries like United Arab Emirates and Qatar, they have just as many SUVs as we do. So we use U.S. dimensions there.
Now, parking is often an issue with new developments. And in fact, right here in Lafayette, there was a development being planned for near the Purdue campus, and parking was one of the issues that killed it early on. Is that a similar sentiment in the rest of the world?
Well, there's a huge change going on in the industry, and that's one of the key things I'm going to talk about. Parking has changed more in the last 10 years than it has in the first 30 years in the business. And one of the big issues is two things. One is sustainability, but the other one is smart growth. The urban planning people, at least from what I read in the paper, the West Lafayette planners, thought these were good projects because they're more of a live-work-play. They're built without having to build new roads and new infrastructures and take farm ground out. So there's a lot of good things about those projects. But it's very difficult to, when you're breaking ground like that, to figure out exactly how many spaces they really need. And there's a lot of concern in the community about the spillover. And so there's still the resistance of local residents being afraid there won't be enough parking, the developers only wanting to provide just enough, and the city trying to broker those two things. What's otherwise a very good project for the community, you know, how much is enough? And that's a real issue almost everywhere we go, here as well as across the world.
Is the industry moving towards a good rule of thumb for that?
There's definitely standards, and I wrote a book in 2005 for the Urban Land Institute and International Council of Shopping Centers that's really the standard for how to calculate it, which is shared parking. There's a whole methodology to do it, and that book is very widely accepted as the standard in the United States. But the issue still is, what are the assumptions? What do you assume for how much people will walk? It has to be customized for each project. And so there's still a lot of questions that come up about what you assume when you figure out how much parking you really need. And so there's a lot of constituencies and a lot of controversy. And yet I think most people agree we have to be smarter about growth in the United States. We shouldn't build acres and acres and acres of surface parking. Density is good in most respects because it supports transit, it makes transit viable. And so there's a lot of dynamics going on in the country right now, and that's a lot of what we're going to be talking about on Thursday.
So if you have two buildings, both mixed use, pretty much identical, parking could differ or attitudes towards the parking could differ just on their location then.
Exactly. And for example, for the first time, we actually are finding when we go into zoning hearings in certain communities, there's a project I was involved in Boston a couple of years ago where I was supporting our office staff there, where the objectors were people who were saying it was too much parking. I think that's the first time I've ever seen it, but it's happening more and more now. So there is an attitude that if you provide too much parking, you waste resources. And so there's that community. And then there's also the local people who get the idea, but they're very concerned about spillover. Is it really going to stay in the building? Are they going to charge too much? Are people going to try to park on the street and avoid paying for parking in the building? So there's legitimate concerns of the neighbors, but it's still very difficult to do on a case-by-case basis.
Is the design of parking garages getting better? Are there still issues with that? Because I'm sure it's costly to put up, first of all, and then maintain.
There's a lot that is common in the last 30 years. What's kind of changing things right now is technology. The biggest thing that's happening right now is technology in the area of finding an available space. And we're doing a lot of facilities where we count the spaces on each floor and how many cars are parked. And as you're driving the ramps, it says, you know, there's only two spaces on this floor, but if you continue on to level five, there's 100 spaces. And so we're helping people make better choices. We're doing more and more of that on the street as well. As you drive down the street, it'll say, well, this garage is full, but down that way there's a garage that has 500 spaces. So you can make better choices about where you go and have less of the cruising round and round. In Europe, and in right now in my work in the Middle East, almost all my projects are putting in individual space guidance where they put a sensor over every parking stall. And as you look down the aisle, there's a red light over all the full stalls and there's a green light over the empty ones. So you can look down an aisle and not really be able to see that there's a space on that aisle, but you see the green light and you know that there's a space down there. And most of this technology always seems to happen first in Europe. Another technology that is coming, but is not real common here, is what's called robotic parking. And I'm going to talk some about that on Thursday. And that might actually have been a solution to some of the West Lafayette project problems, other than cost, because robotic parking is like where they build a structure and you drive into a portal, you park the car in the portal, and it whisks your car away and parks it for you in an area. So the mass is much lower because we don't have driving aisles and things. And these elevators move all the cars around. Unfortunately, if you can build a freestanding parking garage, it costs about 50% more per space. So it's not very economically viable for most projects. But when you're talking about a residential project and on a limited site where you need to get more parking in on a certain number of floors while still keeping the building height down, maybe then it becomes viable. And the resident's car would be, you know, whisked away and stored, and because they're students or faculty staff at the university, they don't drive very much, so there's not a real high turnover. And that might be a solution for a project like the West Lafayette projects.
Mary, when you're at a party and someone finds out about what you do for a living, do they want to talk to you for hours about parking?
You know, when I was younger, the tendency was, you know, you design parking garages. Oh, and they change the subject. And all of a sudden, there is so much more interest in it.
Yeah.
And it's all part of what I'm saying. Parking has just become a really interesting issue in the last 10 years, far beyond the people who actually live it day to day. And therefore, people are much more interested in asking questions about what's happening in parking.
Where Did I Leave My Chariot? The Curious History of Parking is this year's Interdisciplinary Engineering Colloquium at Purdue. It's Thursday, 3:30 to 4:30 in the atrium at Armstrong Hall, free and open to the public. It's sponsored by Purdue School of Engineering Education. Mary Smith with Walker Parking Consultants. She's going to be one of the panelists. Thanks for your time, Mary.
Thank you, Mike.
You're listening to WBAA. I'm Mike Lowitzow.